this wonderful songs describing the glory of the Holy Name. Due to material conception, like Dhruva Maharaj was considering the great fortune of having a kingdom, but instead he realized his desire was like that of getting a piece of broken glass instead of the good fortune of the Lord's association. And so similarly, many people consider the chanting of the Holy Name in an ordinary way that it can deliver the greatest fortune. There's some nice understanding here in this Kabbalistic verse. Madhura Madhure Dyoki, Madhure Dyoki Mangalam. More sweet than all other sweet things, more auspicious than all other auspicious things, the greatest purifier of all purifying things. In Vedic teachings, there are many things that are auspicious, many things that are purifying, but compare them to the holy name of the Lord, it's the superlative, the greatest purifier of all purifying things. And from the topmost planet of Lord Brahma down to an insignificant clump of grass and everything in between, all is Sarva Maya, Krishna's illusory energy. So the Holy Name is different. The Holy Name is not a product of matter. Rather, it's reality, absolute reality. Satyam, Satyam, Param, Satyam. Completely distinct from anything of this world. It's otherworldly altogether, and mercifully, is being manifest for our benefit. The one who is a true teacher, guru, or father, or mother, a true friend, here's the standard. Teach another person to always remember the Holy Name. Sri Hari alone is everything. One who can teach that is the true friend, the true teacher, the true parent, mother, father. Just this one thing. There is no certainty when the last breath will come and put an abrupt halt to all of one's material plans. Therefore, it is wise to always practice chanting from very childhood. Kirtaniya mato bhavya. Similar to Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada teaching, Prahlad Maharaj teaching his friends from the tender age of Komara, childhood. There is Bala. Chanting of the Holy Name should be taken up at the early age of life. Who knows when it drops all the material life will come. Lord Hari eternally dwells in that place where truly exalted, spiritually advanced souls sing in the mood of pure devotion. There are many companion verses from Bhagavatam that express similar thing. Krishna says, I'm not here, I'm not there, I'm not here, I'm not there. This is where I am. At present where my devotees are singing my glories. So we can contact Krishna immediately by that method. But how unfortunate it is. Dukham maha dukham dukha dukhataram yatha. No greater misery than this one thing. Mistaking it as a mere piece of glass, the people have forgotten this jewel of the holy name. Kacharkam vishnukam ratna. Taking as broken glass, this jewel, the holy name. It should be heard again and again with one's ears, it should be uttered over and over again with one's voice. It should be perpetually sung and sung anew. Kirtaniya Sadhavati. Joyful celebration of song. Trin. Just like Trinadipi Suni Chena. Everything of this universe seems like straw, blade of grass, insignificant compared to the splendorous position, Rajate Sakalokami, of the holy name. It's full of eternally conscious divine ecstasy. It is supremely pure. The holy name of the Lord is everything. Makes you want to chant, right? So, very nice glorification. Along with many other nice songs that are glorifying the position of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. I want to spend a little bit of time explaining a principle, the principle of Krishna's reciprocation with the devotee who chants. In the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called most confidential knowledge. It's called most confidential knowledge because it's describing the relationship between the living being and Krishna. Confidential is to understand the distinction between soul and matter. More confidential is the distinction between spirit and the Supreme Spirit. Most confidential is the relationship. And of that, the most confidential part is what Krishna feels when someone approaches him in devotion. So that's what this is describing, this section. Because when we're chanting, it's not solo. Not exactly a duet either, but we're calling Krishna's name, and Krishna is there. We call even in an ordinary manner, just like a Jamila called Krishna's name or Narayan's name. And immediately, the Vishnu just came. I want to describe that pastime a little bit. The story, the Ajamila story, is told by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Prakriti to illustrate what can be done to prevent those that would otherwise have to experience the hellish planets from experiencing that suffering, because he's a compassionate king. And when he hears about the fifth canto description of the hellish planets, he's horrified. My citizens may have to experience that. What can be done so they don't have to experience that? So, very quickly, karma kanda is considered, jnana kanda is considered, then finally devotional service is considered. And Shukadeva Goswami says, even that devotional service, which is a shadow of devotional service, is so powerful that it can relieve one from having to experience hellish existence, reactions for one's sinful activities. Because sinful activities, reactions for sinful activities are eradicated by even the shadow of devotional service. And then he tells the story as a proof. So you know the Ajamila story. He was very qualified through contaminating association. He became forgetful and fallen. He deviated from his elevated position. And it happens. Even Krishna's own son, one of Krishna's own sons, Balmasura, by that association became contaminated and Krishna killed him. So through bad association, Ajamila became fallen, and his whole life was lived, 2/3 of his life was lived in complete sinful activity. And I've heard these lectures like over and over again, Prabhupada described Super Soul inspired Ajamila. Because Ajamila previously had done devotional service, Super Soul inspired him. It wasn't just a cultural thing, it was Super Soul directly inspired him to name his son Narayan. Called the son Narayan. And then when his moment of death was to come, because of his attachment to his son, he called his son. But because he called Narayan, the Vishnudutas came. I want to read texts 9 and 10 of chapter 2 of the 6th canto, where Shukadeva Goswami is describing what happened. The chanting of the holy name, this is the Vishnudutas explaining to the Yamadutas the principles of Dharma. The chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for a thief of gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a brahmana, for one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or other superior. It is the best method of atonement for one who murders women, the king, or his father, for one who slaughters cows, and for all other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, quote, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. This is Vishnudutas explaining this most confidential what happens from Vishnu's side or Krishna's side when someone calls his name. He considers, quote, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. And how did he give him protection? He sent the Vishnudutas. Stop. Leave him alone. Immediately. How far away is Vaikuntha Loka from this earth planet? It didn't take time at all. Immediately they were there. Just like how long did it take between the chanting of Krishna's name and Krishna's presence? No time at all. He's immediately present. That's our teaching in Shikshastakam. Immediately he's present. In his fullness, he's present. There's a very nice pastime in Krishna's childhood. It was after the Govardhan Lila, and after Indra was totally embarrassed. Indra came with Surabhi, and Surabhi came and offered prayers, just as Brihaspati had recommended. If you go to apologize to Krishna, he may not even pay attention to you. But if you call with one of Krishna's devotees, if you go with a Surabhi cow, Krishna will surely pay attention. That was good advice. So he got Surabhi cow to come. So Krishna paid attention to Surabhi cow, who offered her prayers, and said, actually, it's you who are our Indra, not him. You are our Lord and our Master. And for this reason, let me give you another name, Govinda. Give one who gives pleasure to the cows. You are our Indra, you are our Govinda. And Surabhi performed Abhishek with her transcendental milk, bathing Krishna. Airavata bathed Krishna with the water from the celestial rivers that he carried with him just for that purpose. And Indra was totally humiliated, totally apologetic, and with Airavata he returned to the heavenly kingdom. The very next pastime that's described is, when you know your Vaishnava calendar, Govardhan Puja comes just before an Ekadasi. And on the following day of that Ekadasi was Dwadasi. Nanda Maharaj was taking his bath in the river Jamuna in preparation of breaking his fast on the Ekadasi, on the Dwadasi day. And when he went to the river Jamuna, you know, those of you who've been to Vrindavan, you know where Nandagram is. From Nandagram to the Jamuna, it's quite a distance. Generally, he took his bath at that Pavan Sarovar, right at the base of Nandagram Hill. But this was special. He wanted to go all the way to the Jamuna to take his bath for the Dwadasi day. So there were some other elders with him, because he was the king, he took elders with him. And as he was bathing, the agents of Varuna miscalculated. They thought that he had miscalculated, but actually he hadn't. And he was bathing in an improper time, so they kidnapped him. And all of a sudden, Nanuraj just disappeared. And these elders, they didn't know what to do. Nanuraj just got kidnapped. So what did they do? They called Krishna's name. Because they're just dependent. He's a little boy. They're elders. They're calling Krishna's name because that's their affection. Immediately, Krishna came. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Krishna was sleeping in Nandagram on a bed of flowers. Doesn't say more than that, just he was sleeping. And he heard. And at once he came with Balaram. It's like when the four Kumaras were trying to enter Vaikuntha, and Jayan Vijay prevented them. Lord Vishnu came at once. It's described, he didn't even put his sandals on. He was in such a hurry. He didn't even get on the back of Garuda. He just came at once to the gate to give protection to his devotees. In this case, he had two sets of devotees, Jai Vijay, and by now the Kumaras had smelled the fragrance, the aroma of the sandalwood paste and the tulsi manjaris at the feet of the Lord. Just smelling that they became devotees. Their bhakti awakened. Just that use of one sense. So, Krishna comes at once. Krishna comes at once. Let me read what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his commentary. The name of the Lord may destroy sins, but how can Namabhas be atonement for thousands of grave sins which cannot be destroyed by thousands of 12-year vows? That's a doubt. How is it possible? How can calling the holy name in Abbas be so powerful? He continues. Chanting is the best atonement since it destroys the root of sin. 12-year vow of atonement, though it destroys the effects of sins, cannot destroy the root of sin. That is not the only result, because from chanting the holy name of the Lord's mind dwells on that person who chants. And the Sanskrit phrase is tad vishaya vatihi. There are these two terms, ashraya and vishaya, the subject and the object. You're like in grammar, the sentence construction, the subject and object. So in rasa, there's also subject and object, the abode of love and the object of love. The devotee is the abode and Krishna is the object of love. So the object of love, when he knows that the devotee is calling his name, Krishna can't stop thinking about that devotee. Because that's his nature. Although he's the object of love. And that's what Vishnudutas are saying about Lord, their master. When Ajahnila called, Krishna couldn't stop thinking about him. Ajahnila, sinful. Most sinful. Totally sinful. But he, as he was not even on the mind of Ajahnila, but on the mind of the Lord sent his messengers. The Lord thinks, this person belongs to me. I will always protect him. This is Sridhar Swami's meaning of the phrase. This person belongs to me. I will protect him. Because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. That's how Prabhupada translates it. What's that? Like, well, we're not Nanda Maharaj, we're not residents of Braja, we're not Ajahnila. No, we're somewhere in between. Certainly insignificant. But the chanting of the holy name is such that one who chants, Krishna makes himself present, giving his protection, eradicating reactions to sins, but moreover, giving spiritual protection, spiritual well-being to one who simply chants his holy name. All the more reason to chant attentively, yes? There's another place where Uddhava is speaking with Vidura. It's in the third canto of Bhagavatam. And Vidura has been on pilgrimage, and he sees Uddhava in the forest of Vrindavan, and he's very surprised. You're not in Dwarka? You're in Vrindavan? Uddhava, tell me about the residents of Dwarka. How is everybody? Just by seeing Uddhava, he's thinking like that. How is Krishna and Balaram? How is Uddhava Singh? How is Mother Devaki and Vasudeva? How is Rohini? How is this one, that one, the other one? He's like bubbling over. please tell me about their well-being. Krishna has just left the planet. And Uddhava knows it. Uddhava was the first one to know it because he witnessed Krishna leaving the planet. And Krishna told him, I'm leaving. So Uddhava's devastated. But Vidura wants to hear about Krishna. So he's torn between his own emotion and his wanting to do some service for Vidura. So he somehow gathers himself together and starts speaking about Krishna. And one of the verses he speaks about Krishna is, what a glorious master he is. Who can find a better master than Krishna? Every living entity has to serve. And who can find a better master than Krishna? Let me tell you what a wonderful master is Krishna. Putana, who came to kill Krishna, only had a slight degree of attraction for the beauty of this little child, but wanted to kill him. Krishna accepted that motherly affection and gave her an eternal position in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan as an eternal associate of Mother Jasoda, a maid servant, taking care of baby Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Can you think of a better master? Even that little devotional service amidst, you know, wanting to kill Krishna. Krishna accepted that little devotional service. So, it's Krishna's nature to be very affectionate and kind. Even someone is cruel-hearted, or someone is ordinary, or someone is sinful, or someone is this or that. What to speak of? The elevated Vrajavasis. Krishna's there at once, giving protection to his devotee, feeling in his mind, they've taken shelter of me. I must protect them. So, when you're chanting your 64 rounds tomorrow, and you're struggling with some part, maybe you'll be struggling, maybe you won't, with some part you're struggling, you can think of this quality of Krishna. As you're calling Krishna's name, however much you're struggling and having difficulty, Krishna's hearing, and Krishna's feeling something. Krishna's feeling is, let me extend my protection to this devotee. Now how he does that, and how the devotee receives that which Krishna is extending, that's a matter of our relationship with him. And he's fully independent, he can do however he likes. But we can know for certain, from Krishna's side, he's feeling something. He's doing something. Just as from our side, we may be feeling something. And we're feeling dry, or inattentive, or mechanical, or something. Maybe feeling very exhilarated. Whatever it is, from Krishna's side, he's feeling something. He's doing something. He's extending that this is a mutual, when establishing a relationship with Krishna through his holy name, we should know there's reciprocation from Krishna's side. This is the point. Because it's Krishna's nature. He's loving. He cares very deeply. However shallow our effort may be, he sees that very special. And he reciprocates. That's the message I wanted to share. This, the overall idea. Yeah, there's one other verse I wanted to make reference to. It's in the childhood past, there's a chapter called The Childhood Pastimes of Krishna. It's when Krishna just starts going into the forest of Braja. He's very little. Generally, children that are very little, they don't go out of the home, they certainly don't go into the forest. But Krishna's precocious. He's like, he was given the opportunity to herd the calves at a very early age. In this chapter is the description of wonderful exchanges like the fruit vendor lady that comes before the house of Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna sees her there, and she comes with his two palms full of little grains, and because the grains slip through his little fingers, just comes toddling out and offers what he has, and by the time he gets there, it's nothing. But she's so charmed by this beautiful little boy. She gives him whatever is in her basket. Bartering. Nothing that's in his hands, for everything that's in her basket. And she's just enchanted with his beautiful features. She doesn't even look at the basket, she's just looking at him. And Krishna takes whatever his little hands can carry, and she looks down, and her basket is filled with jewels. Because of the love with which she offered, which she had, a little bit that she had. These wonderful pastimes are part of this chapter. So in this chapter, sometimes Mother Jasoda and her gopi friends would tell Krishna, bring this article, or bring that article, like bring Nanda Maharaj's shoes. So Krishna would go over and put Nanda Maharaj's shoes on his head, like as if they were heavy, and toddle over and bring them to Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj would smile. Thank you for bringing my shoes. This is the personality of God in doing this loving reciprocation for the devotees. Sometimes they would order him to bring a wooden plank, wooden shoes, or a wooden measuring pot. And Krishna, when thus ordered by the mothers, would try to bring them. Sometimes, however, as if unable to raise these things, he would just touch them and stand there. Like, say nothing, just point to the thing and touch it. I understood what you want, but it's too heavy. He couldn't say it, so he just did like that. Just to invite the pleasure of his relatives, he would strike his body with his arms to show that he had sufficient strength. No purport. Then the next verse. To pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Vrijvasis by his childhood activities. That's the title of the chapter. And here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. That Krishna performed childhood activities to increase the pleasure of his devotees was another transcendental humor. He exhibited these activities not only to the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi, but also to others who were captivated by his external potency and opulence. Both the internal devotees, who were simply absorbed in the love of Krishna, and the external devotees, who were captivated by his unlimited potency, were informed of Krishna's desire to be submissive to his devotees. You get it? By delivering the holy name, as Lord Chaitanya did, to one and all, unqualified, qualified, doesn't matter, Krishna becomes captured. If Rajamila can capture Krishna, then what to speak of his devotee? Trying to be, at least, trying to be devotee. And what's the message? Prabhupada's disclosing the message. Krishna likes. Just like this exercise of chanting japa and hearing others chanting japa and what that did to your attentiveness in chanting japa. And, you know, the appreciation of one another's how nicely they're chanting japa. Those kinds of things. What to speak?
Krishna himself.
He's not only hearing us chant, he is the chant. He's present at once. And he's feeling something. I'm indebted. I must give my protection. And we're kind of like, you know, out for lunch. Mind wandering, this and that, the other thing. Big disconnect between what's really going on and what our consciousness is. So, if you can remember those thoughts, remember the nature of Krishna when chanting, remember that what's really happening on a spiritual plane as we're struggling with our chanting is very enlightening. What to speak of if you're just being attentive. These glories of the nature of Krishna are very, very enlightening and will help you stay fixed in your regular chanting. Knowing that it's not just on your own effort, there's Krishna on the other side who's helping you. You're not alone. He won't interfere, he won't force himself upon you and make you do something or feel something. But he's there, reciprocating. And it's up to us, it's our relationship with him to receive and reciprocate with how Krishna's interacting with us. And that the most accessible medium is the holy name. Anyone, without prior qualification, can chant. It's a very special opportunity to repeat it. We're trying to fix ourselves in this chanting process. I hope you find this is helpful in the course of your chanting tomorrow. Any discussions? Questions?
Please don't turn the microphone on and off from the tails. We are controlling it at the receiver. There's a sound bomb that you have in your hand. Maharaj, this is just out of curiosity. During the Ajami Leela, there were some exchanges between Vishwaduta and Yamduta. Who should take the Ajami? So, was he the first person to chant Lord's name at the time of death?
No. Of course not.
So then why didn't Vishnu, Yamduta knew that whoever chants the Lord's name, we should just leave him and Vishnu take him?
It's a Shukadeva Goswami says that this is a history that he heard when he was in the course of pilgrimage from one rishi, I forget the name of the rishi. So it's an historical event between these particular, the agents of Yamadutas are not just a handful, there's a lot of people who die. And there are some of those who were looking after those who were dying, the sinful persons dying. So it's not the first person, but it's that those three Yamadutas that didn't have the proper understanding prior to this exchange. And Shukadeva Goswami is giving it as an historical reference. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You have mentioned whenever devotee calls for Krishna immediately, and you have mentioned Ajamila story, Nanda Maharaj, Kidnap case, and four Kumaras. these things happened very, very long time back. So, is there any recent stories similar to this, Maharaj?
Yes. Can I power this off? Just to save the bulb. Here's something really recent. Really recent. At our GBC meeting in Mayapur, Padri Narayan, during the Bhagavatam class, told a story. And the story goes like this. He's a GBC in San Diego. So he has a congregation member, a husband and wife couple, where the husband is older, gentleman, not so devotional, kind of like, you know, educated, smart Brahmin. And his wife is a nice devotee, chanting the holy name, etc. An aspiring disciple of Jagannatha Maharaj. So this man has been part of their congregation for like many, many, many years. And never really has like rolled up his sleeves in devotional service. The man was diagnosed as having some kind of very serious disease and was hospitalized. And in the course of the hospital treatment, the situation got worse and worse. And his vital symptoms, you know, everything was diminishing. So,
could you lean that way?
Yeah,
very good.
Okay, fine. Thanks. So, Padre Narayan went to visit him in the hospital. And I forget what his name is. You know, Dr. So-and-so. He's like a medical doctor, but a PhD, a scholarly person. Dr. So-and-so looks to me like, you know, this may be it. You may be leaving this world. So I request you that you take shelter of Krishna and may Krishna protect you. And he left. Some short while later, the man entered a coma. The coma went for something like 3 weeks. Long coma. And over that 3 weeks, the devotees were there having kirtan, and relatives flew in from all over the world, and because it looked like he was going to leave his body. One fine afternoon, with a number of people around the bed, his eyes suddenly opened. And he looked around the room. And he said, "They came 4 times. And the nurses said, "Yes, we came many more than 4 times. We were here by your side the whole time." He said, "No. They came 4 times. And the relatives said, "Yes, even here by your side. Many persons came from many places." "No, they came 4 times. And the devotee said, "Yes, we came for having kirtan many more times than 4 times. And he said, "No, they came 4 times. The ugly ones." "And each time they came, I said, 'No, I am taking shelter of Krishna. Please go away.' And they left. And they came again. And they were so terrible looking, but I said, 'No, I am taking shelter of Krishna. Please go away.' It happened the 3rd time and the 4th time. When I said like that, these 4 armed angelic beings, they came and they told them, 'You go away.' And they left. And I woke up. They came 4 times. Recent." And he wasn't calling his son Narayan, but he was taking the words that Badri Narayan, someone whom he had a long-standing respectful relationship but never really followed anything, kind of a situation, he took his words to heart. Because he took his words to heart, who's protecting it? I'm taking shelter of Krishna. Please go away. There's others. But that one's the most recent one. There's a family from Eastern Europe where the father's same, very similar. The children, his daughter is a devotee, and he was like, kind of a grumpy old man, didn't really, what happened to my daughter, and she went off the deep end and became crazy. Like, not respectful. But as his health diminished, similarly, she gave him prasadam and told him, take shelter of Krishna. And he described the Yamadutas and his conversation with the Yamadutas. Krishna, please protect me. And Krishna protected him. He described that. Didn't take a photograph. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. When we are chanting, as part of the meaning of the prayer, and as we are meditating on the meaning of the prayer, we are saying, O Radha or O Krishna, please engage us in your eternal service. So, as we are doing that, how do we know, or how do we, how Krishna is reciprocating in terms of how is he going engaging? I mean, what services that we are getting or engaging? He's engaging us. And how do we know if we are on the right path or whether we are going the right way?
Well, three things. One is, it's the spirit of your calling more than it is what the engagements are. That's important. Second is, engagements keep changing. That's my experience. What's today is different tomorrow. Tomorrow is different than the next day. So the particular engagement of service is not the essence. It's being engaged in service that's the essence. And how do we know that we're doing things the right way? We have Guru Sadhishastra as guides. Like this thing about sentiment, and we hold our sentiment and hold it up to the light of Scripture. And by the guidance of those that are guiding us in our spiritual master.
Regarding the mood, what should be chanting? If they say that we should chant like child crying out for mother, is it okay to chant quietly? Sometimes that crying might be annoying to Lord Krishna all the time, or if you are just crying. So is it okay to I feel more? I feel. Better if I'm chanting in happy mood, like trying to please Krishna, and in a mood that I would like to chant nicely so he will be happy, and in a glorifying mood, is it better than crying?
You're a mother. And if you have small children, when your children were small, and they were smiling or they were crying, did it matter? I mean, variety is nice, but you know, the crying doesn't mean like whining, complaining kind of crying. It's a calling out with feeling. That's what it means. Not like that, but calling out with feeling. Please engage me in service. So if your children were saying, Mommy, can I do some service? Can I help you in some way? Is there something that I can do? Mommy, can I have some service? Anything at all that you'd like, just let me know. Any service, please? That's not like that. Calling out. With feeling.
Calling out, feeling. Normally, that I need help, I need help.
Yeah, not needy, but service. In the mood of service. I wish to serve you. I wish to please you. That should be done, you know, properly also. I understand your point. Maybe it's just a clarification of what it means to call out. Call out with feeling. Anything else?
Thank you, Maharaj. I don't have any questions. I just wanted to appreciate the analogy you gave. We just now chanted, when we chanted for each other, Mataji was so appreciative. And you mentioned that what to speak of Krishna. I think that's going to be my goal for tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. So just some thoughts in preparation for tomorrow. No harm that you give some additional, just as some of you have done, some additional thought to your sankalpa, your intention for the day, and stay with it. It will help you, like the magnifying glass, it will help you stay very focused and see, you know, what you're doing in the right light, see it very clearly. Try to take rest early tonight, ending a little bit earlier than the schedule said, but it's a distance to get back to where you all came from, so take rest early and get up early, not too early, but get sufficient rest so that you're well rested tomorrow. I had this experience, the last Japa retreat was where somebody said it was really tough because I was really enthusiastic to get up early in the morning, so I didn't sleep well at night. And the first 32 rounds were fine, but the others were like, it was really difficult because I was really tired. But get sufficient rest, get up early, and start chanting early. The best you'll find tomorrow's rounds will be, or amongst the best, will be those very early morning rounds. And the park opens at 7, so we can come together and chant at 7. Best, when we reach the park together, observe Mona, for sure, right immediately after the morning classes. Mona means, other than giving instructions to your children or answering their questions or whatever that kind of conversation is, like no conversation. There's a reason for it. It's powerful. We want your mind to be focused and very dedicated. You'll find many people report this. It's like strong. Besides just like not being distracted, it's like internal strength. So observing Mona up until you complete your 64 rounds. We're expecting, I understand this, that a number of the registrants are new and they're not likely to be able to chant 64 rounds, so we're going to have an after lunch starting at something o'clock, 2:30 or 3 or whatever it says on the schedule. Someplace, somewhere, we'll have a small class for those persons that are unable to complete 64 rounds. If there's nobody, that's fine. We'll just continue all chant 64 rounds. But if, for those that have that, you know, 32 is good enough, we'll have another class sometime, somewhere in the afternoon. And then we'll come back together in the evening time. So be very focused. Take those things that you heard, such as have a short class, purposely short class, for just staying focused and inspiration and so on. And besides, you know, the air conditioning is inside, so stay inside. If you need to go outside and walk around, that's fine. But as far as possible, stay and chant together. It's very powerful. The space isn't really big space for the number of people that we have, but it works. A big feedback item from persons that take part in retreats is the powerful experience of chanting in the association of other devotees. That's a common shared experience, so stay together, stay focused. We have, we should have a Tulsi, maybe in the middle of the floor, so we can focus on and offer prayers to Tulsi. Trying to think if there's another. Anything else somebody wants to add? Okay, so we'll have kirtan for a bit. Yes? Go ahead, ask now.
In the reading from Krishna's childhood pastimes, Srila Prabhupada gave reference to internal devotees who are attracted to his pastimes and external devotees who are attracted to his energy. That was the correct quote.
Yeah.
And that the devotees are trying to fix their minds on Krishna. So the internal devotees are always trying to think of Krishna with love. And the external devotees are distracted by material desires. So is it that Krishna, Lord Krishna, sees these devotees with equal love and is trying, like a loving father, the Supreme Soul, trying to bring us up to the point of having internal devotees?
Exactly. Exactly. You got it. Specifically, he's displaying his childhood pastimes directly to reciprocate the love of those internal devotees. But explicitly what Prabhupada says is that he's making a statement to the external devotee, or those that are attracted to the external layer. I want this kind of love with you too. So he recognizes their position and doesn't interfere with it, but he attracts them by his pastimes to that position. Let me read the sentence. Both the internal devotees, who were simply absorbed in love of Krishna, and the external devotees, who were captivated by his unlimited potency, were informed of Krishna's desire to be submissive to his servants. Shri chapter 11, text number 9, report. Some more? You have a microphone, you have something additional?
I wanted to ask that Srila Prabhupada often said that our Hare Krishna temples were like spiritual hospitals.
Yeah.
And that people are becoming cured of their disease, of material infection. So we find that there's devotees on different levels that are trying their best to make advancement, and trying to be humble, serve their spiritual master, and become absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. And then also when we remember our own struggles of being very materialistic devotee, and so when devotees have these different desires, it sometimes creates disharmony, because some devotees are really wanting to be absorbed in Krishna, and other devotees are thinking it's okay, I love Krishna, but I really also have a lot of things to take care of. So how can we always encourage ourselves and each other to
it starts with respect. See the spark and fan the spark. If there's someone that's on this level, fan the spark. Someone at that level, you appreciate and respect. But without respect, there's no relationship. And with respect, you can respect according to one's position. And then devotees' positions may change over time as well. Sometimes. And that's allowed for. It happens. So let us offer respect to the wonderful devotional service that someone at one time did that now is in a struggling position. You know, it's unfortunate that they're struggling with wonderful service that they've done. So it's a spiritual conception. It's operating with a spiritual conception that allows for this unity in diversity.
I didn't mean it in a negative way. I'm just seeing how
I'm not saying that you're judging people in a negative way. I'm not saying that. But there is this big spread, and how do you, your question was, how do you address yourself to that? And I'm responding by saying, not you, but any one of us, in principle, respect. And then, with a spiritual conception, it's very much like this question about Vaishnava Parada. A Vaishnava is one who is carrying the holy name in their heart. However high, low, or in between they may be, they're carrying the holy name, they're carrying Krishna Bhakti. So respect goes there, that's the spiritual conception. Someone that's low on the spectrum of bhakti, they may have some bad activity. Or, you know, not very Vaishnava-like activity. But I can still respect the fact that they're carrying bhakti in within their heart and fan that. Respect that and try to enhance that in my interaction with them. And that's going to be a different interaction than with somebody that's, you know, of the other end of the spectrum, as you were describing. So it starts with respect and spiritual conception, and then, as appropriate for the person and the circumstance, you interact, encouraging them in their Krishna consciousness as best you can.
Thank you very much.
One other thought comes to my mind, just thinking about both in Seattle in June and then the Festival of the Holy Name we had in Chicago. I made these books available, just ordered a case or two from Gaurijan, and I noticed that devotees during the course of the 64 rounds were from time to time referring to different things within the book. There are inspirational prayers, like this little piece One of the my favorite ones is this picture. They're just images from Vrindavan. Guru Chandra goes around with a camera and takes pictures and then writes little poems. So here's a prayer to the holy name. The picture is a row of trees in, somewhere in Vrindavan, and on the other side of the row of trees is a little path, and there's a lady carrying a bundle of sticks or something on her head with her morning sweater on. Apparently it's like, you know, a little chilly morning in Vrindavan. And the prayer to the holy name is, O holy names of Krishna, may I cast off the burden of Maya and accept your shelter. Kindly award this weak soul the required strength to serve you. For me, that's the Hare Krishna mantra. Krishna, please attract me beyond my attraction to Maya, and attract me to you. Please, oh Rama, please give me the strength to do all of this, to serve you properly. So there are little things like this. If you know, you get distracted or something, in addition to the looking at the mantra, you can look at these beautiful prayers and absorb yourself in the mood, calling Krishna's name. O holy names of Krishna, may I cast off the burden of Maya and accept your shelter. Lady carrying the bundle. May I cast off the burden of Maya and accept your shelter. Kindly award this weak soul who requires strength to serve.